a brand new episode of Wrestling with Siblings. I'm your host, Araceli, and this is my co-host, Armando.
Hi, guys. I'm Armando, and welcome to Wrestling with Siblings.
All right, let's get started with Money in the Bank, the review for this pay-per-view.
Very, very interesting Money in the Bank, especially for the Money in the Bank ladder match, because it was going to be unique. It was going to be in the corporate headquarters, so just to see how it was going to turn out. So we'll see how it turned out.
Yes. All right. Let's get started with the kickoff show match. Jeff Hardy versus Cesaro. Keep in mind, this is the very first match of Jeff Hardy since he's come back.
Yeah, definitely. We've been seeing a lot of promos, a lot of videos of him, about him coming back into the WWE, into the ring. And this is his first match back, like you said. And it looks like he didn't lose a beat, man. He looks better than ever. He looks more confident. And what better way to do it than with a competitor like Cesaro?
I personally think the match was pretty evened out. And as you said, Jeff Hardy hasn't lost a beat. But you have to give credit to Cesaro. He can hang with somebody like Jeff Hardy. And he's also one of the superstars that I think is super underrated. I feel like he should definitely be getting one of the biggest pushes. He's proved himself not only to us, but to the WWE universe. And I think the fact that he even got this match with Jeff Hardy is a huge step. But I want to see more of Cesaro.
Definitely agree with you. I think Cesaro has all the potential to be a great champion, whether it's Intercontinental, US, WWE, or Universal Champion. But not only that, Jeff Hardy also, like I said, he did not lose a beat. But there was one thing I did notice. He kind of was a little bit out of shape. But again, keep in mind, he hasn't been in ring action for a very, very long time. So other than that, that's it. But he did do a great job and ended up getting a great victory.
I'm looking forward to Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus in the near future. We can obviously see that it's been pretty much planned out for the last couple of weeks, and Sheamus has been targeting Michael Cole specifically because he mentions Jeff Hardy. So that's probably what's next for Jeff, and I want to see where they go with this entire storyline.
Definitely, and Jeff Hardy is going to face a different Sheamus, a Sheamus we haven't seen in a while. So it's going to be very, very interesting how this all plays out. All
right, now let's move on to the main show. The New Day versus Lucha House Party versus Miz and Morrison versus the Forgotten Sons for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships.
In a fatal four-way match, anything could happen. Very, very smart strategy by the Forgotten Sons, trying to neutralize the ring, why, and try to keep it in the center and in their corner, why, because at any point that you go towards the ropes, anybody could take it. That's the disadvantage that you have in this match.
And I think the strategy, the biggest strategy from all of these teams, is the fact that they try to keep Big E as far away from entering the ring and as far away from them as possible. And that's exactly what they did. They kept Big E isolated. They kept him away from the ring at all times. And that really benefited everybody, because you know, the moment Big E comes in, that's the game changer for everybody. He's the ultimate powerhouse. And that's the strategy they all went in with. And it definitely worked.
And obviously, the New Day being the tag team champions and being the team that's been together the longest walked in with the advantage of knowing each other very, very well. But not only that, the New Day, like I said before, they took a piece of the Usos playbook in, and is that they know how to survive. And that's what they did in this match. They were able to survive and retain their SmackDown titles.
And you really have to give props to the Lucha House Party. I think going into this match and going into any match in general, they're seen as the underdogs. And I think they've really proved that they're really one of the best tag teams that will ever step foot into the WWE and on the SmackDown brand. And they definitely showcased that. They took advantage of every single opportunity. They created their own opportunities, and they showed what they're capable of doing inside of the ring.
Definitely. And they were close to getting the victory at certain points throughout the match as well. But definitely, Lucha House Party is a team that you have to keep an eye on. Same thing with the Forgotten Sons. I like what they're doing. But yet again, those guys, they walked in with the advantage of the numbers game from the beginning.
Yeah, and usually the New Day has the numbers game because they have Xavier Woods. In this case, they don't have Xavier Woods. So who had the advantage? The Forgotten Sons. And they completely took advantage of that as well. And Miz and Morrison are one of the teams that you look and you're like, it's an odd pairing, but it completely works. They also knew what they were getting themselves into, and they kind of just tried to stay as far away from the rest of the teams as they could. And when they were in, they showcased why they were the former SmackDown champions.
Yeah, and I agree with you to that. I feel that they kind of try to stay away a little bit, but at the same time, they were trying to look for the perfect opportunity for them to get the win. And that was their, in our opinion, their game strategy, their game plan going into this match. And it was pretty smart, because you don't necessarily have to pin the New Day. As long as you're the legal tag team, you're able to get the win. So I think they did a very, very good job on that.
100%. And like Armando said, the New Day knows how to survive, and that's exactly why they retained the SmackDown Tag Team titles. All right, let's move on to the very next match of the night, which was R-Truth versus MVP. Originally, it was supposed to be R-Truth versus MVP, and they kind of just have like a basketball tutorial, and he's like, well, you know what? This is a two-pointer. This is a three-pointer. And Bobby Lashley interrupts, and he basically comes off, and he's like, hey, MVP, you can have the rest of the night off. And Truth is like, oh, well, I'm also taking the night off, because, you know, that's a Truth thing to do. And Lashley went on with the brutal attack, and they pretty much had a match.
Yeah, like we've been saying these past couple of weeks, this Bobby Lashley is a different Bobby Lashley. He's more focused. He's more determined. But not only that, he has a little bit of anger, which it benefits him. But at the same time, as we saw last week, it cost him the match. And he completely annihilated and destroyed R-Truth.
Yeah. And he definitely went with the spear for the win. And you can definitely tell that R-Truth was not ready for this. He definitely didn't prepare for an opponent like Bobby Lashley. But at the end of the day, you have to give credit to Truth, because every time he goes into the ring, he always finds some way or another to deliver. All right, let's move on to Bayley with her best friend, Sasha Banks, versus Tamina.
I got to say, this Sasha Banks and Bayley team, I like it. Why? Especially because this is a different Bayley. This is a more confident Bayley. She believes in herself, what she's doing, and she's willing to go at any stakes to win.
And keep in mind, not only does she have the champion's advantage, she has to be pinned and or submitted, but she also has Sasha Banks right then and there, right by her side, to be able to help her get a win one way or another. But also, she maintained Tamina down for a really long time. She got cocky, she got confident, and she's like, you know what, I know I'm going to retain. And that's what she did. She got inside the head of Tamina.
Yeah, and she knew that she got inside the head of Tamina, and by taking her down, that she was going to avoid Tamina's speed and power, because that was going to be crucial throughout the match.
And in order for her to do that, what does she do? She targets the leg, and she was like, you know what, if I can take some power away from Tamina, then I can put myself in an advantage. Because keep in mind, Tamina is the powerhouse going into this match. So what does Bayley do? Bayley's like, you know what, I will target the legs, I will completely take advantage of that. If I can weaken Tamina, I'm already at an advantage. And that's exactly why she's a SmackDown champion.
Yeah, she did a great job in targeting the leg, but also keep in mind Tamina's experience. She's been in the game for quite some time now, so she knew that the longer this match go, Bayley might get frustrated. Bayley, you know, might get into a conflict with Sasha Banks. We've kind of seen it a little bit in the past, but you know, again, Bayley being smart, willing to do whatever it takes to win.
Yeah, and Tamina, you always have to give props to Tamina. She does absolutely everything that she can. And the times that she went after Bayley, she gave her a beating. But unfortunately, the numbers game, Bayley getting inside of her head. And not only that, she's got under her skin. She was able to take down Tamina and therefore retain the SmackDown Championship. All right, let's move on to Bray Wyatt versus Braun Strowman.
Very interesting match, because we all want to see how Braun Strowman was going to face Bray Wyatt. What version of Bray Wyatt were we going to see? Were we going to see The Fiend, or were we going to see Bray Wyatt? And we ended up seeing Bray Wyatt.
Yeah, it was pretty straightforward, because they said he was going to be facing Bray, but he kind of did mention The Fiend at some point. But also, you have to give props to Braun. He did the one thing nobody has been able to do up until this point with The Fiend and also Bray Wyatt. What does he do? He got inside his skin. How did he do that? Inside his head, he pretty much brought out the black sheep mask. He put it on. He kind of pretended like he was in the team of Bray Wyatt. And what happened? Bray Wyatt completely fell for it. And that's exactly how he lost. And he was unable to gain the Universal Championship.
And Braun Strowman doing what he said he was going to do. That he knew that nobody else knows Bray Wyatt like he does, and he proved to us that he does know Bray Wyatt better than anybody else.
And I think Bray Wyatt went into this match very, very prepared. I think he knew, you know what, again, vice versa, if there's anybody that knows Braun Strowman, it's definitely me. I definitely know him better than anybody else. And what does he did? He went into that match extremely confident. He even brought out the Fiery Funhouse friends. Sister Abigail was out there, and the Rambling Rabbit, everybody was there in a puppet form, Why did he bring them out? Because he was trying to get inside of the head of Braun Strowman, but that completely backfired on him.
Yeah, get inside the head, get the distraction, and try to take the advantage of that. But also, Bray Wyatt also expected Braun Strowman's power. Nobody else in the WWE knows of Braun Strowman's power like Bray Wyatt.
I think Bray Wyatt didn't go in prepared for what Braun Strowman had. I think he went in knowing every single advantage Braun Strowman had, but I think he wasn't expecting Braun to get inside his head.
Yeah.
To be able to outsmart him the way that he did.
Yeah, definitely agree with you on that. The mind games that Braun Strowman played throughout the match, especially with the Sheep, I think that was crucial for him to get the victory, and he did a great job.
100%. All right, let's move on to Drew McIntyre versus Seth Rollins.
What a match. Huge, huge test for Drew McIntyre, his first title defense after WrestleMania.
Yes, and no one better to defend the championship up than against Seth Rollins. Obviously, Seth Rollins is probably one of the greatest in-ring performers, and I believe Drew McIntyre is as well. But this match was killer. This was probably the best match of the night, and I say that wrestling-wise. I feel like Seth really took McIntyre to a limit we haven't seen in a really, really long time.
Yeah, and not only that, but from the get-go again, Drew McIntyre shows the confidence that he has, and I think that has played a huge part in him becoming champion.
Oh, yeah, because he gained this momentum of, like, you know what? I figured out who I am. I figured out what my strengths are, and I'm going to use every single one of those to my advantage. And what does Seth do in order to take down McIntyre? He starts targeting his legs, because if he can cut even a little bit of that power, that gives him an advantage immediately right off the bat.
Yeah, and not only that, he target the right leg. He target the left one. Why? Because the left one is where he puts all the pressure, and he gets the momentum to connect with the right leg as he's doing the Claymore kick. So very, very smart on Seth Rollins. Again, the experience that Seth Rollins has was playing a huge factor in the match.
100%. And we really have to give it to McIntyre. I think he's one of the best champions. I really want to see what's next for him. Who do you think is next for Drew McIntyre?
For Drew McIntyre, I could probably see him maybe against Murphy, continuing that Seth Rollins storyline. If not, I would also like to see him against Jinder Mahal. I think with Jinder Mahal, he'll have a great feud. Why? Because they have that history between each other, and they were both champions. And not only that, they were part of 3MB.
I agree with those picks, but I'd like to personally see him against somebody like Randy. I think Randy can do so much amazing things with somebody like Drew McIntyre, and I think McIntyre can do a lot with somebody like Orton, and I think they would both have an insane amount of chemistry inside of the ring.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one too, but not only that, the chemistry, they have a lot of similarities too. I mean, you look at the way Randy Orton connects his RKO out of nowhere, and you look at McIntyre, the exact same thing, but with the Claymore kick. I mean, if you notice in the match that he had against Seth Rollins in Money in the Bank, just at a short distance, he's able to connect that Claymore kick, which is super impressive.
They've both mastered the art of their finisher, and that's something that's very dangerous for both competitors, and that's also awesome because not a lot of performers are able to do that, and I think that would be a killer feud.
Yeah, and I think what makes McIntyre so dangerous right now is the confidence that he has, and he knows that he has a target in his back and that he's going to back it up. And again, the confidence that he has played a huge role right now.
And Seth Rollins has completely rebranded who he is, his entire character, his entire persona, and what he stands for. And I think this entire character has been something we've never really seen before up until now. But I also want to see where they're going to go with this, because obviously he targeted Kevin Owens and now he went after Drew McIntyre. But I think Murphy's next. And I think there's a lot more opponents down the line for somebody like Seth Rollins.
Definitely agree with you. I want to see where they're going to go. And, you know, like we've been saying before, we do see Buddy Murphy betraying Seth Rollins maybe down the road. Maybe not right now, but maybe down maybe a couple months, weeks. We'll see. But it might happen.
Yes. All right. Let's move on to our main event. So basically, this is how it works. The men and women's Money in the Bank will be held simultaneously. Starting from the headquarters, you can see the women start off from the lobby. And the men start off from the gym. Obviously, we don't know what floor that is. But right off the bat, the men get started with their match.
Yeah, and AJ Styles going against Otis, and Otis right from the get-go comes up with the great strategy. Why? Because he takes down AJ Styles and puts all the weights on top of AJ Styles, and AJ Styles is stuck. It's too much weight for him. So right from the get-go, Otis, you can pretty much say, eliminated AJ Styles.
And the entire point of this match is to make sure you get to the top first. You have to make it to the roof first. So AJ asks Ray for help, and he's like, Ray, help me out. And Ray is like, nah, and he just leaves. And that's brilliant, because now AJ Styles is at the biggest disadvantage of this entire match. And the woman, Asuka's the only woman that doesn't show up with the proper entrance. So what ends up happening, she's at the very top, and there's like a little balcony. She jumps off, she takes everybody down, and she hops on the elevator, and she immediately starts going up the floor. So that's absolutely smart, and that's something that I think was her biggest advantage. She hit that elevator, and she was like, you know what? I'm going up there.
Yeah, and everybody else like, man, I can't go down the elevator tomorrow, so now I got to go up these stairs, which brilliant strategy from Asuka.
Yeah, she made everybody struggle to get to that point.
And then on the other side, you have Baron. Keep in mind, they were going back and forth, but Baron Corbin is getting into a fight with Daniel Bryan. And what does he do? He grabs the weight and he tries to throw it at Daniel Bryan, and he ends up missing. So what does he do? He ends up breaking the mirror in the gym.
Yeah, bad luck. That's basically what that stands for. And interesting, because where is that going to lead Baron Corbin? Where does this leave him? Is he going to walk out with the Money in the Bank? Now, keep in mind, to me, he was a favorite to walk out of Money in the Bank with the briefcase. But given the fact that he broke a mirror, and if you're superstitious, I don't know, he might not end up winning this.
Yeah.
Aleister playing the Asuka card, because what does he do? He sees that everybody's distracted in commotion. And what does he do? He starts to take advantage of that. He's like, you know what? I'm slowly just going to be making my own way to the top of the roof. And if he were to make it up there, I think that'd be amazing, because I feel like he's one of the ones that really deserve to win the Money in the Bank.
Yeah, pretty much everybody on both sides was trying to get their own strategy, try to get the upper hand on everybody else.
And then we get to the interesting part. You see Paul Heyman pretty much sitting down on a table, and what is he doing? He's getting himself ready to eat, and who shows up? The men show up, and then the women show up, and they kind of just collide. It turns into like a little brawl. You see Nia going after, I believe she went after Aleister, and then you see Shayna going after Rey Mysterio. So it was an awesome sight to see something different. It kind of takes you to the old times.
Yeah, and not only that, but also a food fight broke in the middle of all of that.
Yes, and Carmella got put through a table, which already put her at the disadvantage, because the moment she was put through that table, it was kind of just like she's kind of done. I don't see her getting back up from that. And then the men, this is also where Aleister took advantage. He saw that everybody was fighting. He's like, you know what? I'm going to just leave, because everybody was distracted. There was men, there was women. It was just chaos all around.
And not only that, but also Dana Brooke, as she's going down the hallway, what does she do? She slips because there was somebody mopping the floor, and that automatically took her out. So that leaves Nia Jax, Asuka,
and Lacey Evans
making their way up to the top of headquarters.
But before any of that happens, you see them go kind of into the little conference room, and they all just start fighting. And next thing you know, you see everybody's on the floor. Dana sees the opportunity. She kind of sees the briefcase, and she's like, it's going to be mine. She goes up, she grabs it, and she's sitting there reminiscing on everything. She's like, I can't believe I finally got to this moment. Stephanie passes by, and she's like, that's not the Money in the Bank. The Money in the Bank is at the very top of the roof. I think that moment was one of the best moments of this entire match. It was just comedic. It was perfect all the way around.
Definitely it was. And just the reaction that Dana Brooke had, and she was like, man, I was so close. But like I said, it was comedic, and I thought it was one of the best parts
and
of the match.
I personally think she took the most punishment, because not only did she get a frame broken on her head, she also got pretty much, at the food fight, she got pretty much squashed. And then after that, she slipped and fell on her way to the top of the roof. So,
yep. And then we get to the point where Nia Jax, Asuka, and Lacey Evans make it to the top of the roof, and they're pretty much going at it. to see who wins. Everybody else is pretty much gets taken out.
Yeah, so Asuka makes it to the top. She's fighting. She's finding her way of how to get that money in the bank. And she finally gets it. And when she's going up there, Baron Corbin's also getting up there. And I'm like, there you have it. Those are your two winners. They made it to the rooftop first. And what does Asuka do? I don't know what beef she has with Baron Corbin, but she completely cost him the money in the bank. She's like, no, no. And she grabbed hers, took Baron Corbin down, and cost him the money in the bank.
Again, does this have to do with the mirror that he broke down in the gym? Who knows? But you can say it was bad luck on Baron Corbin's part for Asuka taking him down.
Oh, yes. And I don't know why she did it, but Baron Corbin ended up not getting the money in the bank. Now let's move on to the rest of the men's match.
Yeah, and not only that, then after that, Baron Corbin, what does he do? He's out there going with getting in a fight with Rey Mysterio. So what does he do? He grabs him by the neck and off the roof he goes. And here comes Aleister, and same thing, throws him off the roof. So that automatically eliminates Rey Mysterio and Aleister Black.
Yes, and now you have AJ Styles, Otis, and Baron Corbin. And what do? They both climb the ladder at the exact same time. They're fighting for it. And they both unhook it at the exact same time. But remember, the rules are whoever's feet are touching the floor with that money in the bank in your hand, it is yours. It slipped from AJ Styles' hand and it landed on Otis's hands. His feet were touching the floor. Therefore, Otis becomes Mr. Money in the Bank.
Huge, huge opportunity for Otis and becoming Money in the Bank. He's got Money in the Bank, and now he's got Mandy Rose. So he's got the full package. In order to complete that, he has to become champion.
Yes, so now everything has come full circle for Otis. It's going to be interesting because now I believe he's going to go up to be a singles competitor. I think Heavy Machinery won't be a thing anymore, and if it is, it's not going to be as often. They obviously want Otis as a singles competitor, and I don't know how I feel about this just yet, because personally I don't see this being a long-term Money in the Bank, to be completely honest with you. But that doesn't mean he won't win the Universal Championship.
Yeah, Otis, you know, like you said, we don't see it as being a long-term, but it could be something that could happen in a couple weeks and we'll go from there. You know, and Asuka doing a great job of being the winner of the Women's Money in the Bank. Now the question is, when is she going to cash in? Is she going to cash in right away, right after the Money in the Bank at Monday Night Raw, or is she going to cash at the next pay-per-view?
I don't know. I guess we'll have to stay tuned and find out. But before we do end this podcast, I want to say another highlight of the Money in the Bank was when AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan are fighting and they go into Vince's office and he tells them, get out. And then they get out, they fix his chair because they realize, like, oh my God, we just messed up his office, right? And then he sanitizes his hands. And I think that was pretty cool. I think it was funny. I think this Money in the Bank definitely did bring uniqueness. It wasn't the original Money in the Bank match that you see, but you got some really golden moments from this match that you wouldn't have gotten anywhere else.
And Daniel Bryan was right what he had said on Friday Night SmackDown, that Vince McMahon has dinosaur bones in his office, which was pretty cool.
Yeah, so if you didn't know, check it out. I completely liked it. I think it was unique. I think it was different. And, well, that's all we have for you guys on this episode of Wrestling with Siblings. Remember to like, comment, share, and subscribe. Become a part of the siblings today. Also, remember, we have a new show called Break It Down. We have episode 1, which is Sonya Deville, and episode 2. Selena Vega. Let us know in the comments below who you'd like us to break down.
Yeah, let us know and we'll try to get out there for you guys.
Yes, as soon as possible. And for those of you that do not know what WWS stands for, I wonder, what does WWS stand for?
Wrestling with Siblings. Thank you guys so much and see you guys next time.